So if I'm not mistaken, it was the first time Ben Simmons had been back to Philadelphia since he basically bailed on that franchise and then chickened out on playing a game last year. And it went as you would have expected. The fans weren't happy, and it got a little chippy between the Sixers and the Nets. Sixers won a close game. Joel Embiid was unimpressed, and I love it. And even Doc Rivers was talking about it was probably too much for the game, but I think he thought it was a good thing. My friend Kanata Edwards, CBS Sports, works with our friends Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Let's just start there. Then I'm going to ask you about the Panthers in a second, but that's good. I mean, I like rivalries born out of animosity. I like better than geography. Rivalries where the combatants don't like each other. It's even better when the combatants are on the court trying to guard one another. Thoughts on Embiid versus Simmons?
It went like I thought. It was like we all kind of expected it to be this kind of animosity almost. I mean, quite honestly, like I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm really surprised that Ben Simmons tried to be aggressive in the third quarter. PJ Tucker clearly tried to say something and it ended up being relatively ineffective, unfortunately. Like the Ben Simmons that we saw in the first 2 years is gone. And unfortunately, the Ben Simmons that we deal with now is always just going to be seen as a high-level role player. And yeah, unfortunately, like that's not going to be good enough for the money that they're paying him, unfortunately.
It gets me back to this, and this is why I've always been skeptical of Ben Simmons. And there's no doubt that there is a level of talent there that has not been tapped, right? He has not got, it's the old thing, we only use, what, 10% of our own brain capacity. To me, that's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is the human brain. Like, he has only used 10% of his own basketball ability. My problem with Ben Simmons is that he is an unwilling offensive participant. And if that's who you are, then you cannot be great for a great team. You can't be, because those, in order to be that, you have to be willing to fail. And he is terrified of missing a shot, which is why he passed up the layup 3 years ago in the playoffs. And that's the root of the feud between Simmons and Embiid, right?
Absolutely. It's just he's afraid. He's in his own head. He is one of those people that clearly just needs the freedom to fail. And as someone that has gotten the max contract, as someone that has been the first overall pick, there is something to say that, yo, he can't fail. And he doesn't have the latitude to fail. Unfortunately, this is a sport where failure is going to happen to 98% of us. The only people that are really excluded from that are Bill Russell and Michael Jordan, for the most part. And even in Jordan's case, there's the 80s that no one likes to talk about. But with Ben Simmons, unfortunately, like this, he's just not good enough. And if he's not going to be this, if he's going to be this high-level role player, thankfully he's not being asked to do more, or he doesn't have to do more in 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, when Kevin Durant comes back
from that
injury, and he can go back to being just a defender, just a facilitator. But unfortunately, it's that mental block that so many of us can have at points that have turned him into something, again, that watches him just waste his talent right now.
Kanata Edwards, Not of the Scribe, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Here's the thing about Simmons, and when Durant comes back, he can just sink back into the background and be just a useful piece. But at some point, that salary precludes the Brooklyn Nets from getting somebody that they need. What is their path forward? And ultimately, you have not been bullish on the Nets' future. Ultimately, is that basically, does that put a ceiling on just how good they can be?
I don't think the ceiling, like the run with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, has made me think that the ceiling is higher than it should be. But also at the same point, I would tell you that the buyout market is going to be robust because we see, again, we've seen all the trade tables rattling all the time.
Right.
Oh, these teams want this X amount of picks, X amount of this, and ends up happening. No deal gets done. And then you have a whole bunch of veterans that are going to look for new spots. The Charlotte Hornets have a couple. Kelly Oubre, Mason Plumlee. Would it surprise me if neither one of them were traded and ended up on the buyer's market and the buyout market and somehow ended up in Brooklyn? No. This team is going to end up getting a veteran or two that's going to help them. Another big wing that's going to help them defend. Maybe a big that can spell Nick Claxton, who is having an all NBA defensive team
right.
type of season. I think the ceiling is higher than I initially thought it was, but I also think that they're the type of team that just need buyouts, guys that can credibly play to just lessen the wear and tear on Kyrie and Kevin Durant till they get to March, April, and then we'll see where we are from there. And they should be fairly high at that point, too.
All right, so let me go to another rivalry that I think snuck up on people. And first, just out loud, I want to say that I love the fact that the top four teams in the Western Conference are non-traditional powers. I love the fact that we're talking about Denver and Sacramento and New Orleans. I love that. And Memphis. I love all of it. Do the Warriors and are the Warriors and Grizzlies right now the best rivalry in the league?
Yes, it is. But again, it's one of those things like I only consider a rivalry if it's competitive. At this point, the Memphis Grizzlies have not been competitive at all
right.
with the Golden State Warriors in any iteration. Stephless, Clayless, Draymondless. And at this point, I want to run this by you, Adam. What do you think? How close are we to calling the Memphis Grizzlies Gen Z Lob City? Because we got to be close, right?
Yeah.
Those Lob City Clippers that never really won anything but talked a lot and
right.
a lot for the refs. Like, we're kind of getting close to that, aren't we?
Yes. The thing is, the Grizzlies have only been the Grizzlies, like good Grizzlies, for a year. So, I mean, I'm going to give them a little bit more time to get through this, but if they butt their heads against the Warriors or another team again and don't advance, then I think the pressure's on the following year. But what's the difference between this? And I realize the eras are different. What's the difference between this and the fact that the Bulls couldn't get through the Pistons for the first few years until they finally did?
There isn't much. The only difference is winning. And that's the thing. If they're going to take these lessons and apply them and become something that eventually the Warriors can't handle over a seven-game series, then cool. That's when they become the Bulls. But for right now, all I see is a bunch of Gen Z guys. And I hate to sound like this because this makes me sound older than I actually am. But it's one of those, like, at some point you got to shut up and play. There can't be all this talking. There can't be all this, I'm not worried about anybody in the West, because clearly you're 7-7 since those comments have been said, and you haven't really, and mind you, you're 0-3 on this road trip right now. Couldn't beat the Lakers and Shannon Sharp if we throw that in there. Again, like, there's a lot of this where, unfortunately, you've got to be able to win these games. If you're as good as you say you are, Denver should not be lapping you when it comes to the wins and losses, even though Jokic is having an MVP-level season. The problem is, at some point, like, these guys have, in order to be this unlikable, you got to win. And until you win, I really can't take you seriously.
Not of the Scribe is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show, at Not of the Scribe on Twitter. This is not a Yells at Cloud segment. I love it. I understand what you're saying, though. You do have to eventually shut up and go about the business of playing and winning. But the Grizzlies are super fun to watch. How is it possible that Steph Curry got ejected last night?
Well, let's be real. If you throw a mouthpiece and it hits somebody in the crowd or something like that, at some point, like that's disgusting. We've gone through everything germ-related in the last 3 years. You know what? That's a defensible ejection. I am completely okay with that.
Okay.
Let's be a little bit more sanitary. Steph is not very sanitary with that thing. And I just, no, I'm okay with that. That is equivalent to someone spitting on somebody. I completely understand that. Steph should have been ejected. And this is, again, now we've extended this not a yells at cloud thing.
Wow.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate this so much.
You just took, like, one of the stars of the history of the sport off the court. He didn't even yell at the referee. He was mad at Jordan Poole. See, what he should have done was he should have thrown his mouthpiece at Jordan Poole.
Absolutely. I'm okay with that. I am completely okay with that. Throw it at your teammate. Embarrass your teammate. Humiliate him. Show him up. But don't hit anybody in the crowd. Don't hit a referee with the mouthpiece. Come on. There's got to be some sort of standard. We have to have some sort of baseline here.
He should have just told Draymond Green to take care of it, and that would have been fine. All right, I had this discussion yesterday. I'm going to get to the Panthers in a second, but I had this discussion yesterday. After watching college basketball games involving State and Carolina and Duke over the last, you know, 4 or 5 days, I keep growing increasingly angry that the love affair with the charge call and other things in college basketball that bother me. So I have three things I want instituted in college basketball. I want your thoughts on this. You spent a lot of time with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. I'm sure they've talked about this. Can we get rid of the block charge? Can we include continuation in the college game? I don't understand. If a guy's going into a drive to the basket and he's fouled and he takes another step and lays it up and a great basket, and why are we waving that off because the foul occurred before he left the ground? And can we also get to the quarters system, since men's college basketball is the only Neanderthal game that uses halves only?
I agree with all of these. And I would add one more.
Okay.
Can we advance the ball on a timeout?
Oh, you're just trolling Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, too.
It's not even trolling. It's just I want the sport to, like, join the 21st century like the rest of them. Like you said, this is a Neanderthal sport sometimes. And I want college basketball to continue to be interesting. My finances rely on college basketball being interesting. Unfortunately, there are times, and the way that the sport is run sometimes, it seems like it's the express purpose to lose money instead of make money outside of the NCAA tournament. I would like the sport to actually evolve and allow the people in charge to evolve the sport so that I can help sell the sport because it makes me money. So therefore, I agree with everything you said thus far.
All right, so because it bleeds down. Did you see the video I sent you? I texted you a video. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Okay. Was that a travel?
Hey, it's Adam Gold, and I'm in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
Really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Not.
All right, I sent a video. What?
Old school me absolutely thinks that's a travel. New school me that understands that there's a lot of this stuff that goes by the wayside understands why it wasn't called travel, even though I wish it was.
No, that was my kid. They called for a travel. And I was so annoyed because it wasn't a travel. He picked up his dribble. He took two steps. He's going to the basket. And he was fouled. And I'm thinking, why are we doing this? Why are we discouraging these kids from playing basketball?
Why are we discouraging kids from playing basketball? Come on now. You know the refs got making about them. We're all there to see them, Adam. You know that.
It makes me so angry. Oh, man, referees love calling travels. They don't even call travels when they should. When a guy takes two steps before he starts his move to the basket, that's way worse than even taking a third step on his way to the
Absolutely.
Basket. It's not even close. It's not even on the same planet. All right. When the white puff of smoke comes out of Min Street, of Bank of America Stadium, and David Tepper selects Steve Wilks to be his head coach, how will you feel?
That he finally listened to those around him, that he finally read the room right for once in his ownership tenure. That'd be the first time he's ever read the room right. If Steve Wilks is the guy, it makes more sense than Frank Reich. It didn't make sense to go with the Ben Johnson route. Ben Johnson didn't make sense. If Shane Steichen wasn't going to be your guy, then he was the only coordinator that kind of made sense. Mike Kafka did not make sense. Ken Dorsey made even less sense and then continued to eliminate himself further with his play calling in Buffalo. Steve Wilks was the only guy that ever made sense, and it also depends on how you look at this. Me, personally, this should not have taken this long. This should have been Steve Wilks' job the day after the season. You go through your sham hires. You hire him at some point last week. You do all this stuff. You get it over with, and you worry about fixing the program, letting him build a staff, apparently a good staff, a very foolproof staff, depending on who you talk to. Like, this guy has gotten and understands the DNA of Panther football. And if you can't hire that guy and you can't, it's not obvious, it's very questionable to wonder how well you're going to read the room with other situations in mind, namely when the Tepper Dome gets built. How much are you actually going to be able to read the room then as well?
So when I hear Jonathan Jones say that David Tepper now values leadership, that I have bells going off that says that Steve Wilks is going to be the head coach. And I am on board with that, because a couple of weeks ago, the mantra was David Tepper wants an offensive whiz kid.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly it's leadership, which is what it should have been all along. Kanat Edwards at Nod of the Scribe on Twitter. Tell Gary and Matt I said hello. I'll talk to you very soon. As always, thank you, my friend.
Absolutely, man.
That was not a travel, by the way. Maybe when we get to spring training. That was not a travel, by the way.
Fair. Next time I will defend you better on that one. I apologize.
Just go watch that video again. I have issues. I have major issues. I appreciate Nada's time. I was at the game. I sent out a game two nights ago. As a game tonight. And I have to admit, I don't talk to the referees. I don't.
Probably
a good idea. But I talk to myself and the surrounding parents.
Yes.
And I just make little comments.
Right.
I feel like I might have been a jerk on Tuesday night.
I mean, being a parent, you can't help it, I'm sure.
I wasn't arguing. I'm mostly making these comments out of in jest.
Yeah.
Let the kids have fun.
Yeah.
Just let them have fun.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that.
It's eighth grade basketball.
And you couldn't have been that bad, because I don't see you going like viral on TikTok or anything.
Oh, I'm
so
very careful about that.
Yeah.
I am very careful about that.
Yeah.
But I sent him a video. My son got the ball in transition, went through the lane in traffic, picks up his dribble little bit below the foul line, takes two steps, and he's going up. Here we go with travel. I'm like, get out of here with the travel.
Seems legit.
He's fouled, too. Never mind. Oh, well. Never mind. Should have been an N1.
Yeah.
But we didn't get anything.
Flagrant. All of them. Just throw all the things.
F2.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody ejected.
No.
Anyway, their team's a little mid.
Yeah. Oh.
No. Well, a little sus at times.
Professionals, it's time to supercharge your career at William Peace University's School of Professional Studies, the smart solution for working adults who want to earn a college degree. Our School for Professional Studies helps you balance work, family, and personal goals with affordable, flexible degree programs. Online, flexible, affordable. Attend classes when it fits your schedule. WPU offers various start dates, so why wait? Take control of your education. Your future is waiting. Explore our programs at williampeace.info/SPS. William Peace University, where your success takes center stage.